The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. The next half hour, I'll be reading articles initially from the Harvard Heart Letter, and then probably from the Harvard Women's Health Watch. This is the Harvard Heart Letter of May 2024, which we're finishing up. And I'm going to read some articles from the section called Research We're Watching. And the first section says, smartphone-based mall walking program may boost step counts. A smartphone-based mall walking program may motivate people to walk more, according to a Japanese study published in the January 2024 issue of JAMA Network Open. The study included step records from 217,344 mall visitors who downloaded a free step tracking app on their smartphones. After completing 1,000 steps in the mall, participants received a digital coupon to enter a lottery for shopping points to use at the mall. Researchers collected daily step count data for all of 2021. They found that on days when people participated in the mall walking program, they took more than 1,200 extra steps per day compared with days they didn't participate. In general, women and people 65 and older showed the greatest increase in additional daily steps. As the authors point out, malls can be an ideal place to walk because they provide a spacious, safe space without the challenges of bad weather or traffic. Now here's another brief article from Research We're Watching that's entitled HPV Infection Linked to Higher Cardiovascular Risk. Women with high-risk strains of human papillomavirus, or HPV, a well-known cause of cervical cancer, may face a higher risk of dying from heart disease. Published online in February of 2024 by the European Heart Journal, the study included more than 163,000 young and middle-aged Korean women without heart disease. As part of a national health exam, they were screened for high-risk HPV and tracked for up to 17 years. After adjusting for factors that affected heart disease risk, researchers found that women infected with high-risk HPV were four times more likely to die of heart disease than uninfected women. Viral infections can trigger inflammation, a key player in heart disease, and that may explain the association, according to the study authors. But more research, including studies in men, are needed to confirm the finding. Vaccines against HPV, which is the most common sexually transmitted infection, are extremely effective for preventing cervical cancer. Future study of these vaccines could also track heart-related problems. And then finally, keto diet is not healthy and may harm the heart. The ketogenic or keto diet, which is high in fat and protein and low in carbohydrates, doesn't meet the standards for a healthy diet and may not be safe for some people with heart disease, according to a review in the March 2024 issue of Current Problems in Cardiology. The review summarized the current evidence on how keto diets may raise heart disease risk. While the diet may dramatically reduce fat mass and weight over the short term, there is scarce evidence for any long-term benefit. Ketogenic diets appear to lower blood levels of triglycerides, but raise levels of artery-clogging LDL cholesterol. With respect to lowering blood sugar and blood pressure, the observed short-term benefits fade over time. The diet's extreme carbohydrate restrictions may lead people to shun most vegetables and fruits and consume large amounts of leafy greens, but the vitamin K in these foods may interfere with the anti-clotting drug warfarin taken by some heart patients. And drugs known as SGLT2 inhibitors, which are used to treat diabetes and heart failure, may be incompatible with a keto diet, according to the review. And then finally, from the May Harvard Heart Letter 2024, here's a brief article entitled Taming High Triglycerides. Weight loss and a healthy diet can lower triglyceride levels, but very high levels require medication, and new options are in the pipeline. When you get a cholesterol test, also called a lipid panel or lipid profile, the most important value is your LDL, your low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, sometimes called bad cholesterol. High LDL levels track closely with the artery clogging process at the root of most heart disease. But a lipid panel also reveals your blood level of triglycerides, which are the common form of fat both in food and in your bloodstream. Because levels rise after you eat, triglycerides need to be measured after at least 8 hours of fasting to get an accurate reading for treatment decisions. When and why should you pay attention to your triglyceride level? For healthy adults, a normal level is less than 150 milligrams per deciliter, but 25 to 30% of Americans have values that exceed that level. Values of 151 to 200 milligrams per deciliter are borderline high. Those 201 to 499 are high, and those over 500 are very high. When does risk start to rise? Many studies have linked high triglycerides to a heightened risk of heart disease. But when you adjust for having related problems, like obesity or type 2 diabetes, the association is not quite as strong, says Dr. Nicholas Marston, a preventive cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. Still, a recent study found that the risk of heart-related problems started to rise at triglyceride levels greater than 89, far lower than the 150 milligrams per deciliter value long considered to be normal. The study, published in February of 2024 in the Journal of the American Heart Association, included more than 14,000 Italian adults who were followed for an average of 11 years. The good news is that lifestyle changes can have a big impact on triglyceride levels. If people with high triglycerides eat a healthier diet, exercise regularly, and lose weight, they can lower their levels by more than 50%, says Dr. Marston. You should choose carbs wisely. Cut back on easily digested carbohydrates like white bread, white rice, chips, sugar-laden breakfast cereals, and anything else, including beverages with a lot of added sugar. Cut back on saturated fats from meat and butter, which can elevate triglycerides. Try to eat more unsaturated fats from plants, oils, and fish. Avoid excess alcohol. Moderate drinking, one drink per day for women, two for men, may be reasonable, but less is better if your triglycerides are high. Get moving. Regular exercise lowers triglycerides. Aim for a healthy weight. If you qualify as obese or overweight, reaching a healthy body weight can drive your triglycerides down to a normal range. Dropping even just 5 to 10% of your weight can help. Anyone with a triglyceride level of 150 to 499 should be checked and treated for any underlying health problem that might be to blame, including diabetes, obesity, low thyroid or hypothyroidism, and liver or kidney disease. But when triglycerides remain high, after addressing these issues and making lifestyle changes, medication may be a good idea. Many people in this category are already taking a cholesterol-lowering statin, which lowers triglycerides by about 30%. Drugs called fibrates, including fenofibrate, which is also called Tricor, and gemfibrozole, which is also called Lopid, lower triglyceride levels by about 50%, but they do not lower the risk of heart attack or stroke when added to a statin. Icosapent ethyl, which is also called Vascepa, which contains a highly purified form of a specific fat in fish oil, lowers triglycerides by about 30%. And when people with diabetes or heart disease take icosapent ethyl with a statin, it lowers their risk of heart attack, stroke, and death from cardiac causes by 25%. Very high triglycerides, in other words, 500 and above, sometimes have a genetic component. An extreme example is familial hyperchylomicronemia syndrome, which affects one or two in a million people. These people whose blood appears milky from the high fat levels are prone to pancreatitis or inflammation of the pancreas. Serious cases can be life-threatening. Two investigational drugs, plozasiran and olezarsen, are RNA-targeted therapies that put the brakes on a protein that controls triglyceride metabolism. Both drugs lower triglyceride levels dramatically and eliminate the risk of pancreatitis. These drugs may also prove helpful for treating people with moderately elevated triglyceride levels, he adds. Now we're going to turn to the Harvard Women's Health Watch, and this is the May 2024 issue. And it begins with a very useful article that's called "The Latest Thinking on Drinking." If you're confused about how alcohol affects your health, there's good reason, but women can't afford to tune out the noise. If your dry January quickly turned damp and later splashed into nightly cocktails on the patio, you probably weren't enthused by a recent analysis suggesting women's risk of dying early rise markedly when we drink an average of just under 2 alcoholic beverages per day. But perhaps another recent study made you nod with satisfaction, one suggesting alcohol lowers the risk of heart attack and stroke by improving stress signaling in the brain. What to believe? Not what the headlines blare, since most scientific evidence surrounding alcohol's health effects is decidedly weak, Harvard experts say. Tracking it and gleaning useful insights into how we should shape our drinking habits is not unlike watching an annoying ping pong match. One day drinking is touted as beneficial, the next it's terrible. Back and forth, until you want to ignore it all. Everything that comes out seems to capture our attention, but the evidence has always been prone to being misunderstood or misinterpreted, says Dr. Kenneth Muckmall, an internist at Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, who studies how alcohol and other lifestyle factors affect health. With this yo-yo effect, every new study seems important because we don't have strong evidence. It makes people's heads explode. For context, here's how drinking levels are categorized. A standard drink is 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits, or a 12-ounce beer, or a 5-ounce glass of wine. The CDC defines moderate drinking as one standard drink or less for women per day, and 2 drinks or less for men. Heavy drinking is 8 or more drinks a week for women, and 15 or more per week for men. But while those amounts seem clear, the related research is anything but. Part of the problem is that alcohol's health effects have never been studied in what's considered a scientifically rigorous way. There's never been a large-scale randomized controlled trial that's tested how reducing or increasing alcohol intake affects health, says Dr. Joanne Manson. chief of the Division of Preventive Medicine at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. The gold standard study design would pit one scenario directly against the other, rather than rely on observation that could be influenced by extraneous factors. Another conundrum is that drinking and other lifestyle habits that influence health, like exercise, sleep, and social connectedness, can't easily be teased apart. The 2023 research review suggests women's risk of dying early rise significantly from consuming just under 2 alcoholic drinks a day, and was intended to correct some of those design flaws. That study's author said earlier analyses didn't point out that people considered light or moderate drinkers tend to have other healthy habits that improve their overall health, making it appear that alcohol contributes to good health outcomes. Conversely, non-drinkers in study comparison groups have often included people who once drank and quit because of addiction or other health problems. This factor skewed study findings to suggest drinking moderately was healthier than not drinking at all. One of the most robust findings involving alcohol's effect on health pertains specifically to women. Drinking has been convincingly linked to developing breast cancer, as well as other cancers. A 2021 report from the International Agency for Research on Cancer estimated that alcohol accounts for about 4% of newly diagnosed cancers globally, most commonly those of the breast, esophagus, and liver. And breast cancers accounted for almost half of the more than 23,000 new cancer diagnoses in Europe traceable to light to moderate drinking in 2017, according to a January 2023 study in the Lancet Public Health. While the number of women who develop breast cancer every year due solely to alcohol is small, it's something we should consider before we imbibe. The alcohol breast cancer link is among the strongest evidence we have, Dr. Muckamal says. Women who drink alcohol have higher levels of sex hormones like estrogen. If you're prone to breast cancer, this feeds it in a way it wouldn't if you weren't drinking. Any woman concerned about her breast cancer risk, or those whose mother, sister, or daughter has had the disease, should consider reducing or eliminating alcohol, says Dr. Manson, who is also a professor of medicine and women's health at Harvard Medical School. It would be a strategy to mitigate risk, she says. Where does this leave us? There's no perfect answer. But if you're healthy and already drink lightly or moderately, it's probably fine to continue to do so, with some caveats. If someone drinks moderately and they're doing well, I don't push them to stop. If, however, they ask whether they should start to drink or should drink more to improve their health, the answer would be an emphatic no, Dr. Manson says. Many people find that drinking moderately reduces their stress. It's something they enjoy, but it shouldn't be perceived as a health-promoting activity. How do you know if you need to quit drinking? If you reach for a drink just to feel normal, alarm bells should be jingling. That's a clear sign alcohol is more than just an enjoyable pursuit. It's a problem, says Dr. Robert Doyle, a psychiatrist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. The many warning signs that suggest you stop drinking are more subtle, and it's common to slide into alcohol misuse by gradually drinking more and more without realizing it's excessive. A person who develops alcohol use disorder tends to be someone who early on is able to handle their alcohol. They don't seem to get drunk so easily, but then they start to drink more and their body becomes accustomed to it. It tends to sneak up on them. Watch for these signs. You crave alcohol to feel relaxed. People with alcohol use disorder often say that's why they drink, but they're usually imbibing to avoid the physical symptoms of withdrawal. You drink alone. You're wanting to just drink instead of socialize, Dr. Doyle says. Your job or relationships have suffered. You might miss work because you pass out and oversleep, or you're not meeting your obligations because of your drinking. You hide your drinking. That might mean drinking in secret or concealing bottles around your home. You drive after drinking. The wake-up call is getting pulled over for a DUI or the threat of it, he says. Your family tells you you've got a problem. Pay attention to what they say, or ask your family, do you think I overdo it? Tell them you won't be mad at them for being honest, Dr. Doyle suggests. Family members usually have your best interests at heart. If you realize you need help to quit, ask your doctor how to get started. Therapists and primary care doctors are all trained to recognize alcohol use disorder and help people find appropriate treatment. Now here's Ask the Doctor with Dr. Toni Golan, Editor-in-Chief of the Harvard Women's Health Watch. And the question is, what's the difference between age spots and sunspots? I have a couple of brown skin patches that look like age spots, but my friend says they might be sunspots, which can develop into skin cancer. How can I tell the difference? It's an important question, since distinguishing sunspots from age spots, or liver spots, as our grandmothers called them, can help us determine when to seek a doctor's evaluation. Both spots tend to appear on areas that get a lot of sun exposure, like the face, the hands, the arms, and the shoulders. The color of age spots ranges from pink to tan to brown. They're bigger than freckles and usually oval-shaped. They're often found in clusters. Age spots are unsightly but harmless. Sunspots, called actinic keratoses, come in a variety of colors. The biggest difference between harmless age spots and sunspots is the texture. Age spots are smooth and flat, but potentially dangerous actinic keratoses feel rough and scaly. Actinic keratoses can develop into skin cancer, so it's vital that you show any such spots to your doctor. And if you're in doubt about any type of skin changes, it's also wise to point them out. And then here's another question for Dr. Golan. Can berberine help me lose weight? I saw on social media that a supplement called berberine produces the same weight loss benefits as medications like Wegovy. Is that true? No, it's not. And this is yet another example why we should be skeptical when social media platforms dispense so-called health advice, since taking berberine can cause unpleasant and even harmful side effects. Here's the dynamic at play. The incredible demand for semaglutide, marketed as Ozempic for diabetes and Wegovy for obesity, and similar weight loss drugs, which dampen appetite and help people feel full, has stirred renewed interest in berberine. Long touted for calming gastrointestinal nuisances, the plant extract has also been linked to reduced blood sugar levels. Some people say it suppresses appetite and promotes weight loss, but there's no rigorous scientific evidence to support that claim. It's important to know that berberine can alter how quickly the liver breaks down medication, including anti-clotting drugs and immunosuppressants, and change their effectiveness. It also has side effects like diarrhea, constipation, gas, and upset stomach. Since the FDA doesn't regulate dietary supplements, there's no guarantee how much berberine is contained in a product. Talk to your doctor if you want to explore it further, but don't buy into social media claims that berberine is nature's Ozempic. And now I just want to go over some short articles under Research We're Watching in the Harvard's Women Health Watch. The first brief article is, exercising with your spouse might add up to less movement. Working out with a buddy might not generate as much physical activity as intended when that buddy is your spouse. Published online in October 2023 by the International Journal of Human-Computer Interaction, the study involved 240 people aged 54 to 72. All were married and living with their spouses. Research split participants into four groups. This included two groups with 30 couples each who would exercise as couples, and two groups with 60 individuals each who would exercise without their spouses. All participants wore fitness trackers, but only half received real-time data from them. The others' real-time feedback was disabled. The researchers collected data over 12 weeks about how consistently participants met daily step thresholds of 5,000, 7,500, 10,000, and 15,000 steps, along with their daily average step count. While earlier studies showed that older adults exercising with a buddy moved more, this analysis found the opposite. Participants exercising with their spouses logged lower average daily step counts. They also met daily step counts of 7,500 or higher less often than participants who exercise without their spouses. The findings suggest that people who want to get the most from their exercise time might more easily achieve their goals by doing it on their own rather than exercising with their spouse, the study authors said. Well, looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.